Tom Harley has been good enough to give us a little bit of his time, the Sydney Swans CEO. Welcome to you, Tom. Great to have you on.
No, thanks for having me, Dwayne. And I bet you're looking forward to a decent break over Christmas. Been a big year for everyone.
I am, and yet I am actually looking forward to the footy season starting. It's a bit of this, it's a weird feeling to be thinking that I can't wait for the footy season to start, because I should just hold back and say, no, slow it down. The footy season can start when it starts, and let's not. But I love the footy. So there's so much intrigue at the start of this season, well, especially for you guys in a way, because you've got Lance Franklin's 1,000th goal coming up as well. So your list is good. There's so much to look forward to if you're a Swans fan.
Yeah, look, firstly on Lance, I think we've all, as footy fans, been so fortunate to watch Lance go around for the best part of two decades. He's just started officially yesterday, his 18th pre-season, and he's 5 shy of 1,000 goals. So I did hear our coach John Longmire talk yesterday that it's not necessarily a focus, which is true. In saying that, I think the anticipation from the fans is certainly there. And when Lance does kick that 1,000th goal, it's going to be a fantastic milestone for him and for everyone to celebrate. And I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say it's highly unlikely to happen again. So we should just all enjoy what Lance is doing at the moment.
So how damn good is he? He hasn't played in a flag with the Sydney Swans yet, but in terms of backsides on seats, watchability, helping you be competitive and being in the window, at least to be able to say we could win a flag. He's kind of ticked every box except for that little one.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dwayne. I mean, his arrival at the Swans was before my time here, and he's been an absolute marvel. He certainly draws the attention of the Sydney public and the crowds, and our membership numbers since his arrival have gone through the roof. But first and foremost, I'm sure, knowing the people involved in the recruitment, primarily Andrew Ireland, Richard Collis and the like, that it was a footy-first decision to ensure that we continue to contend. And up until 2019, we'd played in 10 consecutive final series. And Lance missed the line a significant amount of time in 2019 and 2020, and obviously had a really strong year in 2021, and were able to win 15 games. So he's been a marvel for us on and off the field. And what he's doing at the moment, Dwayne, is really thriving in a senior leadership role within the club and bringing that next generation of Swans players across the board, but certainly forward through. And I think we should, as I said, we should all just enjoy what he's been able to do, and certainly what he's still got to come.
Well, the Giants thought they were going to be able to recruit him from Hawthorn and have him kick his 1,000th goal at Giants Stadium and pull a crowd there. They get that chance, Tom. You're playing the Giants at Giants Stadium in round one. Will you take him off when he's got 4 goals to his name?
Well, a couple of things. It's not at Giants Stadium. It is their home game, but it's going to be played at the Core Stadium, which is Stadium Australia. That can cater for a significant crowd. And just like what's happening in Melbourne for round one, there's obviously Victoria and New South Wales have been starved from, I guess, live sport the states have been majorly impacted by COVID, particularly Delta. So we'll work with the Giants to ensure that we get as many people as we possibly can to a Core. If Lance has been good enough to kick 4 goals, and if we're good enough to be ahead, well, that'll make it all pretty exciting. But the planning certainly wasn't with Lance in mind. It was really around making a big statement back in Sydney, and we're looking forward to being a part of it.
Are you planning for the scenario where the crowd might run on, wherever it might be, either at Stadium Australia or I presume round two will be at the SCG? So are you planning for protection as well?
Yeah, look, we haven't. I mean, we're expecting, obviously, the fixtures to come out later this week, but fully expecting a round two game at the SCG, which provides a great start to the season for our fans and members to have the first two games in Sydney. With regards to crowd protection and the like, I certainly haven't been involved in conversations around that just yet. But I'm sure that we'll work with the stadiums as required. I think everyone's sort of forgotten what happens. It's been a while since there's been 100 goals kicked as well, Dwayne. So we'll have to play that one a bit by ear, but I'm sure we'll be as best prepared as we possibly can be.
Any chance it would be Hawthorn, the synchronicity of Hawthorn coming up to the SCG for round two?
Yeah, look, I'm, to be honest, not too sure, Dwayne. We were very keen to have once we knew that we were going to be playing away against the Giants in round one, obviously to have a home game at the SCG in round two. So what I do know about the fixture, it's very complicated to pull it all together. They try to obviously fit as many of the marquee games in whilst acknowledging that there are 18 teams. Doesn't naturally fit into 22 rounds, but they have, I guess, an over-index of the top six, middle six and bottom six against each other. So lots of permutations, but I'm sure regardless of who we play, it'd be great to see a full house back at the SCG again.
What do you request in your fixture request? I know Port, for example, request an Anzac Day game. They also like their Saturday night game. What do you request when you get to put your requests in?
Ordinarily, our number one request is Marne Crook at the SCG. So obviously, it's during time at the MCG, Essendon Richmond is a big game. We've built some really strong currency in Marne Crook, and ordinarily that's on a Friday night against a strong Victorian club. So that's a request of ours. I guess the other line of requests, if you like, tend to be more around the market, Dwayne, making sure that we can we have an even spread of night, day and twilight games over, you know, Thursday through to Sunday. Next year will be the 40th year for the Swans in Sydney, and the game's grown enormously in those four decades. So we want to make sure that we provide time slots that can get the most people, and particularly young families. So a smattering of time slots there. And then some really basic things, Dwayne. We've got a curfew up in Sydney at the Sydney Airport. So twilight games in Melbourne on a six-day break makes it a bit difficult for us to get back into town. So a few of those very football-specific requests as well.
Academy rules. Is there any Melbourne clubs getting restless with how many really good academy players you've got coming through these days? Will they continue to change? Or would you like them to change a bit more in your favour? So, because you've lost a couple of academy guys to other clubs in recent times.
Yeah, look, we are huge supporters of the growth of the game. And the academy, not only here in Sydney with us and the Giants, but also in Queensland with the Suns and the Lions, it's extremely important for the growth of the game north of the Murray, and the four clubs invest accordingly. Sure, we've had some good players come through our academy. We didn't have a player drafted from our academy this year, so it does ebb and flow. We provide opportunities for just shy of 1,000 girls and boys now to cycle through our academy any given year. So we're playing a huge game for game development. Personally, I'm clearly a strong defender of the academy. There has been a lot of tweaks to the rules over the journey. I think it's normalising now. So I'd suggest they stay as they are for the time being, and we should all be celebrating, great players coming out of non-traditional markets that have been developed from other sporting backgrounds.
So should all the non-Victorian, non-South Australian, non-WA teams have first access to their academy players, regardless of where they fall in the draft, even if they are top 10, top 20?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, unequivocal about that. I think if we talk about it, Isaac Heaney is the poster boy of the academy, and I think the rules were changed after he was drafted. The reality is he wouldn't be playing Aussie rules football if it weren't for the academy and that identification when he was 11 years old, kicking bags of goals in soccer for up in Newcastle. And I don't think you could find anyone who would argue that the game's not better off for the likes of Isaac Heaney, Errol Goulden, Braden Campbell, these, you know, born and bred New South Wales and Sydney kids representing the Swans. And likewise, the Harris Andrews, Jackson Payne, Eric Hipwood, and the like up at the Brisbane Lions too. So we should certainly be celebrating the growth of the game.
Football department cap, should you have extra in that, given that it is tough for you to get football department people, including medical staff, to come and house themselves in Sydney to be part of your club?
Yeah, look, we obviously worked with the AFL throughout the COVID reset period, and there is an allowance for those staff that earn less than a threshold amount of $250,000 for $7,000 a housing allowance. That's club funded, so meaning that that us and the Giants pay for that and pay for the FBT on top of that. But it does provide, firstly, an acknowledgement around of the the cost of housing in Sydney, but also a little bit of a buffer to provide that support. So, look, we absolutely welcome that that ruling as an exclusion from the soft cap. And the arrangement was that would be reviewed after 12 months, and we with the AFL and the Giants will review that again. So, look, the facts are pretty basic, but the game is still developing in the northern states, and we see that with the playing list. It's 25% of our players are from Sydney and New South Wales, and it's typically inverse in the traditional states. So, I think we take it case by case, and really appreciative of working closely with the AFL to recalibrate some of that in the past 12 months.
So you still got another year of that extra in the soft cap coming your way, and will they ever revisit it for your actual football department spend? Footballer spend as well, your actual salary cap for your players to have an extra cost of living?
Yeah, it doesn't appear so, Dwayne. That it's quite an inflammatory term, Kohler. I think everyone appreciates that. So we're not expecting that to come back on. We do absolutely think it's irrefutable, the cost of living, but at the same token, we understand the importance of a fully equalised competition that we're operating in. So, look, we're not there. There's nothing at foot with regards to reintroduction of any form of allowance around that.
Rotating grand finals, would you ever consider the thought that you might get one up there in Sydney, or is that not something that you would envisage being a good thing?
Yeah, we haven't spent a lot of time at the club thinking or talking about that, but I think I've really enjoyed the fact that the past two grand finals, all for extenuating circumstances, were played at the Gabba, and certainly the one in Perth was, as far as a spectacle sitting back on the East Coast, was extraordinary. At the same token, looking forward to seeing the next one back at the MCG. But look, it's there's a long-term contract at the MCG. There's certainly history and romance around the MCG. If we have the stadium infrastructure to move it round, I would support that. I think we do have the infrastructure to move it around, but at the same token, there's clearly a contract in play. So I don't think it's happening anytime soon, Dwayne, but if there was an appetite to explore it, we'd support it for sure.
And how's Adam Goodes' relationship with football at the moment, Tom? Do you think that there will be ever a time when the footy world can say sorry to the point that he will love the game as much as we'd love him to love it?
Yeah, look, I think that's a personal one for Adam, and I'm certainly not going to talk on his behalf with regards to his relationship with the game. But what I can say with great affection is that he has an extremely strong relationship with the Sydney Swans. His Go Foundation, which he set up with his great mate Mickey O'Loughlin, who's a board member of ours and obviously a former great, is doing really great things in educating the Indigenous youth of Australia. They work in our offices. Goodsy pops in every now and again in between his busy work schedule and obviously parenting as well. And he's in a good space, certainly with our club. So, as I say, unfair for me to comment on a broader relationship with the game, but certainly his relationship with the Swans is as strong as it's always been.
And you mentioned the fixture coming out next week. Do you expect just a one competitive game pre-season? Is that all that you're going to get the opportunity to have?
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure, Dwayne, to be honest. I think the football departments would have a greater insight to that. I guess at the administrative level, you look at the fixture more broadly. I think one thing that all clubs would acknowledge is that we've been pretty adaptable the past couple of years. And look, we'd like a couple of hit-outs if we can possibly get that. And in markets, I guess, that have been significantly impacted by COVID. So more than one would certainly be optimal.
Great to have a chat to you, Tom. I really appreciate the chat. Good luck with the fitness of all of your team, and let's hope you hit the ground running with a full list available and you give us an exciting 2022 like you did an exciting 2021. We'll talk soon.
Look forward to it, Dwayne. All the best for Christmas. Cheers, mate.
And to you, Tom Harley, doing great things as the CEO of the Sydney Swans, former Geelong Premiership star.